Welcome back to Success Made to Last. This is our country western series, and I'm Rick Tokini. Vaughn Kiss has written so many songs in his lifetime. He's a thoroughbred guy. He's written a song that we love called Struggle, and we're calling him today in Nashville, Tennessee, at his horse farm. Vaughn Kiss, welcome to our show.
Glad to be here, buddy.
Hey, Vaughn, tell us about your career journey in the music industry.
I was originally born, around the Cincinnati area in Ohio. And, I was actually, growing up, big sports fanatic, big athlete, and, basketball and baseball, were my strengths. But, started out, playing soccer. And, basically from the time I was 4 years old, to understand, what it all was, you could always find me somewhere with a ball in my hand of some sort. And, that's something that I always knew that I wanted to do, and did that. I got drafted by the Reds out of high school when I was 18, played, 4 years of pro ball until I blew out my ankle and ruptured all the tendons in my right ankle a week before spring training, playing a game of pickup basketball with my buddies. That derailed that. But music was always a big passion of mine, and it was just kind of a burning desire that was always there, but I never really was able to jump into it until, the sports had kind of ran its course. And growing up, I always idolized my uncle. He was very integral part of, me being at one point in my life wanting to do music and be on stage, and I definitely can throw all the praise to him when it comes to that, because that's where it all started. Like a lot of people, I grew up singing in church, but the bigger stage and the bigger dream came from watching him and being on tour buses at a young age, when he was going up and down the road with, some greats known as Helen Cornelius and Jim Ed Brown, that had some number one country hits back in the 70s and 80s. So then he ended up running when he was off the road, he was with Helen for almost 20 years, and then, playing the Grand Ole Opry, playing on with the old Ralph Emery show and the Nashville Now and all of that. So it's just being around it and watching him at that honky-tonk, down in South Carolina when I would go down and visit him. I was in a honky-tonk long before anybody should have ever let me in there. But, he always kept me safe up in the DJ booth area. But he was a house band down there. But they brought a lot of national acts through there, because it wasn't your typical, honky-tonk hole in the wall, with only 50 people that could fit in there. I mean, it was probably something that would hold, 2,500 to 3,000 people. It was a big place, and a lot of rowdy things I saw at a young age. Let's just put it that way. So that's kind of with a fire that was putting me, young, where I knew at some point, I think that it would find me. I don't think I found it. I think it found me.
And that's profound. It reminds me of a line in Struggle that says, "Chasing crazy." So I got to ask you, did your uncle teach you to chase crazy?
No, the basis for that song actually came from, I've been through a lot in the business, and at one point, I'd actually thought that I was done and hung it up, a few years back, around 2016, and I kind of packed my stuff and just went home, because anytime you add the word business usually to about anything, you can start calling it leery, danger zone, red flag. So, music in itself is beautiful, but when you add the business portion to the word music, and it becomes the music business, it can be a very dirty and dark place. So, it got the best of me, and because I didn't set out to do music, to be famous, win awards, any of that stuff, and I'm far from famous now. I mean, I got a lot of great fans and a lot of people know about what I'm doing, but that whole famous world, I made it or whatever, that's a broad thing, because to each and every one of us, making it, whether it's in what you're doing now with, the radio stuff you're doing, or somebody, being a business owner or whatever, to everybody's their they're making it is different, you know. So, you know, some people do set out to get in part of music for the women or the partying or the famous, you know, being famous or being well known or the accolades or whatever. You know, for me, it was different. I set out because growing up, even though I idolized my uncle, my family was diehard sports. So I really wasn't able to do it. You know, it wasn't really accepted. You know, they knew that it was a dark place because they saw all the things that my uncle went through in his life. So I was kind of steered away from it. And any time I was talked about it or something that I wanted to do, you know, it was always shut down right at that moment. And so for me, you know, my family thought I was crazy, you know, and for doing it, and a lot of people did. So I had these conversations and stories with my producer, a great producer. His name's Greg Archilla, that worked on Matchbox 20 Records and Neil Young Records and Collective Soul and Edwin McCain, Doug Stone, a lot of people. And we had these conversations about why I was in music. And so and where I come from and things I've been through, you know, the struggles I've had in life, you know, the dark places that I've been, the great places that I've been and in between. And I went home this past Christmas and, you know, I was only supposed to be gone for a few days. Well, you know, a few days turned into a week and a week turned into a week and a half to 2 weeks. And then eventually, you know, I showed back up to Nashville and you know, he was concerned and worried that I wasn't going to come back. And so he said, man, I have an idea that I want you to hear. And so he played it for me and, you know, an event, you know, right away I knew exactly where the inspiration of the song was coming to me. He was talking about me, been thinking about me when he wrote it. And so, you know, I listened to it. We both got emotional over it and we finished and wrote the song. And, you know, the last verse of that, you know, most a lot of people, if you told them that, you know, you're going to go chase, you know, music, they're going to think that you're crazy, you know, and they're probably going to tell you that. And they're going to tell you to go get a real job, or they're going to tell you to do this, or they're going to tell you to do something else, you know, and there's a lot of reasons for that, you know, and I can understand why people would say that, you know. I mean, it can be a dark place. It can be very hard, you know, so especially when you start, you know, getting outside of the hobby portion of it and, you know, not just playing for your buddies or your friends or your family and playing locally, but you're trying to step out on a national stage, you know, it gets a little dark and it can get a little hard and, you know, introduced a lot of things in your life that you might not have ever seen before or, you know, ever thought that you would ever imagine going on. And, but it happens. And so, you know, we finished the song together and what sums up about the song is, at the end of it, you know, when the line says, you know, you didn't break me, you know, you tried to change the man my mom and daddy made me, you know, but they said, now son, you know, you'll always be our son. You can't do no wrong. Now go sing your country songs. And then the next line is, I made it. But for me, that was, I feel that I've already made it, you know, and that's where I was going when I said to each and every person is making it different. You know, the fact that I was able to get my approval after all the years that I put into it and all the years that I pushed to try to do it, and I got the acceptance from my family and the approval that I was good enough, and they felt that I was good enough and I had the talent and the ability was from them. At that moment, I got that validation, and that's all I ever wanted. You know, it's just I wanted the support from my family and my loved one. And from here, sitting here talking to you, it's just kind of, you know, just icing on the cake, you know, meeting all these new fans and all of this stuff. It's very humbling, you know, but it's not ever what it's not what I signed up to do it for. You know, I did it for the music and just wanting the acceptance from my family. So, you know, if nothing ever happens from this moment forward, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. The fact that you went through some pain means that you're a better man, better husband. And absent of that pain, maybe you wouldn't even be the best version, Von Kiss.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think, I mean, there's a lot of things in my life, just like I'm sure all of us, except for the people, I guess, out there that, you know, choose to live in glass houses. But, you know, for me, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll catch myself, man, if I would only have done this differently. You know, if I only would have done that differently. You know, I say that, you know, but then, you know, would it all have turned out this way? Probably not, right? You know, if that baseball injury would have never have happened, you know, there's a lot of great people that I would have never have met. You know, I will say, you know, I might not have gotten into some of the troubles that I got into, you know, because what I compare to people that for me, you know, I understand, you know, a lot of times people when they turn on TV and they see a lot of these athletes getting in trouble or going bankrupt or losing all they've got, you know, a lot of people can't understand, you know, you'll hear it all the time. You're sitting around in a bar, sitting around people talking, how in the hell can that guy blow, you know, $100-something billion or how can he go and, get in trouble? And, you know, people don't understand it. It's a way of life. And for me, like I said, from the time I was 4 years old, it was the only thing I knew. You know, I didn't know anything else. And so I went straight from a 4 year old to having to be an adult and sign a professional contract and go play against men. You know, I was the young buck on the totem pole and had to rise to that manly. I had to become a man overnight. And then to take that away from me, you know, the best way, you know, I'll be the first one to admit, you know, when I struggled, I had to go through counseling for it. I had to go through therapy. I had to talk to somebody. You know, it didn't help for a long time because I was very angry, you know, with why me, you know, kind of took that approach. Why me, blaming everybody in the world, you know, that,
yep.
You know, why am I living this way? You know, like a lot of us do, you know, we don't want to take the fault, you know, in ourselves and look in the mirror, but I was just mad and angry and lived with a lot of regret and just pissed off nonstop. And it, you know, it didn't work for a long time. And then eventually, you know, honestly, it took me kind of getting in trouble a little bit to shake me up and realize, man, this isn't, you know, who you were raised to be. But, you know, the best way that I was finally able to explain it, I could never explain what it was that I was feeling. And then one day I was watching a horse race and, you know, I grew up around some thoroughbreds and I obviously know what usually happens and the horse went down. And I think it was, I can't remember what race it was. I want to say it was one of the big ones and the whole world was watching and they put the horse down basically, you know, and it was all over the news and it hit me at that moment that I was able to walk into, you know, a lady that was helping me try to, you know, get over some things and I was able to finally put it all together that I said, you know, the best way that I can describe it, you know, is I was a thoroughbred horse that got hurt on the track and that was running a race that I should have been put down, you know, because a part of me, when sports left me, pretty much every ounce of me died that day, you know, and it took years to figure out, you know, where I belonged. You know, I'm an overly competitive person. You know, so I was looking for things to try to fill the void of, you know, competition. It just was a constant inner struggle that I could never get my head around. And to be honest with you, it took my daughter being born and it took my body physically being to the point where I had to wake up for a day of working with horses or something or just going and running around playing with my daughter or whatever. And I had to get to the point where I was waking up in the morning and I was sore and I'm thinking, what the hell does this feel like? You know what I mean? I've been in shape my whole life. You know, my feet never used to hurt when I walk across the wood, you know, hardwood floor. What is this feeling? And so then it started to get in a point once I realized, you know, my body could not go out anymore and compete at that highest of level. It was almost like that's when I was able to finally let it go. But it took probably 12 years, man, for me to get to a place in my life where I could let it go. I mean, that's how long it haunted me.
That's truly amazing. Hey, Vaughn, I want you to provide a word of encouragement to our young songwriters out there, especially when you say the words, not a superstar, but I dream the same.
First of all, never stop dreaming, number one. Second of all, you know, be better than me. Always strive to be better. You know, I'm no different than anybody else out there breathing that's got a dream with a guitar and a pen in their hand. It's a thing that the most important thing that you have to do is write about the truth. You know, write about what you've lived, what you've experienced. You know, because if you get into you know, trying to write gimmicky songs, you know, or trying to write about because you heard a song on the radio that you like. You know, you want to write a song like that because so-and-so wrote it. Well, if that doesn't pertain to you, you know, again, this is just my belief. You know, write what you've lived. And then, you know, if it ever gets to a point where, you know, you're the artist yourself and get to record it, people are going to feel every emotion and every word that you say, every line that you sing. That's where it always starts with me, is trying to just write about what you've lived and what you've experienced. Because there's somebody out there that will listen to your song one day that went through the same similar things as you, that might have needed to hear your song, and not just always, you know, hearing about, you know, a party in a Walmart parking lot, you know, on the back of a truck bed, you know, that we've heard 500,000 times. You know, we need more authenticity in music. And so that's just what I would give advice, is just be authentic, be original, be yourself. And you know what? Don't strive to write a song to try to be the next biggest hit song on the radio. Write it because it means something to you and you believe in it. And then from there, people are going to appreciate it more.
And that's great advice. Hey, tell our listeners where they can find out more about Von Kiss.
Yeah, well, right now, unfortunately, with the coronavirus and not too many concerts going on here lately. But as far as, you know, getting a hold of music, you can follow me on Spotify, of course, Apple Music, you know, any streaming service. We're pretty much on all of them. We've got a new song coming out this Friday, actually, what is today, Thursday, yeah, tomorrow, the 15th, a new one gets released, actually tonight at midnight, a new one will be getting released, on May 15th. It's called Hardest Thing to Lose. It's a good one. It's got a kind of a Western old throwback kind of feel to it, and pretty excited to get this one out there. But yeah, all your streaming services, and eventually, you know, we'll put out the whole body of work. You know, right now with the virus, it's kind of slowed down putting the whole album out. We've just been releasing singles, and we've got two out so far. Tomorrow will be the third one. And then we're looking towards the fall to release the whole thing. So this one tomorrow, and then a couple more possibly before now in the fall. And then we'll be able to get it all out there, hopefully.
Thank you, Vaughn. We appreciate you being on our show today and sharing your wisdom. We truly respect the journey that you've been on. And we also want to extend our appreciation to Scott Sexton, who leads your PR team. Great people there. And we want to make sure and let everybody know about all the new songs that are being released, especially one of his latest songs that we really like called Hardest Thing to Lose. Hey, I'm Rick Tokini. Thanks for joining us on our special Country Western series. And if you like this show, please comment to us by rating us on successmadetolast.com. You can find us on that contact page and rate this show. And if you want to kick your week off to a fast start, make sure and subscribe to our newsletter. You'll get plenty of wit and wisdom from that. Hey, as we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So let me tell you a little bit about Blinkist. Blinkist is the most useful app on my phone. And it's really hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more. And when you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's this incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique. It works on my iPhone, and it could work on your tablet or web browser as well. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading lots of books, and Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute or lunch break or while you exercise. There's 12 million plus people using Blinkist right now, and it's got a growing library of self-help, business, health, history books. And you can go to Blinkist.com to see some of the latest titles. I like Blinkist because listening to some of the most popular books that I just haven't found time to get to, including Alexander Hamilton by Ron Chernow and Super Thinking by Gabe Weinberg. Two great books. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. You can go to Blinkist.com/success and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T ReachYourPotential.com/success to start your free 7-day trial today. Give it a shot. You will love microburst learning from Blinkist.